so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Man, I don't even know if all the people around us know how blessed they are. That we're inviting the presence and the power of God into this place, amen. Come on. Man, scripture says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I can tell you, God is in this place right now, ready to meet you. Did you come here expecting God to move in your life today? Amen. Come here making a declaration of the goodness and the favor and the wonder of God today. You can expect him to move in your life today. Praise God. Who's ready for a great, great day in church? We got a few things going on. Last week we had Robert Madu. Who thought Robert Madu was on fire last week? Man. And we had Taylor in October, right? Taylor Madu. Who reckons we should get him back? I love it when people that travel the world walk away and they start gas bagging to their friends about how great you all are. I got messages from preachers around the world saying, oh, Robert Madu was bragging on your church. I want to tell you, it's easy to preach in a church where people are responsive like you, amen. Where people want to hear the word of God. And let me tell you a secret, though. I want to tell you a secret. This is a secret. Kind of. I said it in the second service earlier this morning, so you know, it was a secret. It's not now. In February, we're going to do what's called Love Month. Woo! It's going to be fancy. It's going to be pretty. All that sort of gear. I'm going to dress in pink like normal. And that's not really going to happen. But hey, I got to tell you, as one of the weeks in Love Month, Robert and Taylor together coming onto this stage. Come on. And we're going to have, on a Friday night, we're going to have them come and do a bit of a relationships round table up here. You're going to pre-submit questions to them. We're going to answer them up on stage. It's going to be amazing. Then one of them will preach Saturday night. One of them will preach Sunday morning. It's going to be an awesome weekend. So make sure February 7, 8, 9 going to be wild at Eternity Church. They've said yes to coming back. Also, then, straight after Robert Madu was here, we had Reggie Dabbs in the house. And then we took him and we did, I think it was 10 or 12 school assemblies around Central Iowa. Adele, Des Moines, Ankeny, come on, it was unreal. And one of the schools we had the privilege of going to was McKinley Elementary. And when he was there, he was so blown away by what y'all have done in that school that he just wanted to say thank you. So we've got Reggie Dabbs up on the screen right now. A quick message from our good friend of the house, Reggie Dabbs.
All right, church, it's good to be with you. Here I am. We're going from the cradle to their adults. These are your pastors that take care of your children. And you may be wondering why we're here today, but we're in front of McKinley Elementary School. I just got done doing an assembly program and seeing the library that you guys have raised the money to redo. Listen to me. I do this around the world. I speak to 1.5 million kids every year face-to-face in public schools. You have no idea, church, what you've done for the kids that walk in these doors every day. Not only that, the teachers, faculty, and staff that go in these doors every day, the happiness, and they specifically wanted to thank you, Eternity. They said your name 5 times in the assembly program, but you know what's more important? What you've done for these kids. There's a little boy crying in a bathroom right now because his mom gave up rights to him this week. And my story about growing up in foster care touched him so much that he knows that he's not alone. And that only happened because you raised money to do a library that ended up opening the door for me to do the assembly program. We will only know when we get to heaven what we've done. But Eternity, thank you. Thank you for helping them love your kids and love the kids in this community, because it takes a church to raise a child, not a village. And you're doing that right here in the Iowa area. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Reggie Dabbs. Hey, we got one more visitor that we want to introduce you to in just a second. Like, we love McKinley Elementary. We love schools, right? Every year we do something for schools. We've given scoreboards to Indian Hills. We've given Christmas Visa gift cards and almost caused legal issues for the Western Moines School District last year when we gave those away. And we're like, who broke the law? Them for receiving, us for giving? We don't know, but everyone was blessed. Amen. And so we did that last year. This year, the renovation of McKinley Elementary Library. And so we just love schools, and we're blessed to have Principal Sarah Grady here today to come and thank y'all for everything you have done for the school. So stand up and give her a great welcome to church. And we got Mr. Grady in the house. Pretty sure he's going to hit me for that afterwards. But awesome, you can take your seats. But anyway, we invited Sarah today because she wanted to say a few words just to thank you for everything that y'all have done for their school. So thank you, Sarah. You're amazing.
Well, thank you. All of you are absolutely amazing. And we feel extremely blessed and overwhelmed with the generosity that you have shown our school. I really just can't put into words the transformation that you have done in our library and in our students' lives, and just wanted to come personally and thank you on behalf of our students, their families, our community, and our staff. We greatly appreciate you sharing of your time, talent, and treasure to impart your love on our students' lives, and just greatly appreciate you.
And so what we've done is great. Like, as a church, we gave $50,000 and a few hours, like, helping at the school. But, you know, the teachers and the faculty at McKinley, they give way more than that, right? They're there every day, day in, day out, and then they go home and they're still stressing out about students that aren't quite making it yet, or students that are having drama at home, and it's all day, every day, that these teachers and staff are working with these children, loving these kids. And we know that you can't go in there and be like, hey kids, Jesus loves y'all. But what you can do, and what all the staff and all the teachers can do, is walk in there and say, hey y'all, I love you. Yeah. We love you. And so I bet it can be tough. I know that being a teacher is tough, because I was a student and I was a turd. And I was a turd of a student. Like, y'all have met Charlie, I made that kid, right? Like, and he's just the same as his daddy. And so I know it's tough to be an educator, but I want to tell you, we are grateful for what you guys do, and it's our hope that you guys, yourselves even, and we'll get together and we'll figure out as a church how we can just bless you and your staff, right? We'll try not to cause legal drama this year like we did last year, but we'll find a way to just bless y'all. And but because what we want to do is make sure that you guys are overflowing with love and hope, so that when you meet a kid where it feels hopeless, that they can get a bit of hope that's coming off you guys. And so give me a wave if you're a teacher in here, or you just work at a school at all. Give me a wave. Look at that, we got teachers everywhere. We love teachers. Give them a hand. So we could all stand up right now and let's pray for Principal Sarah. Let's pray for the McKinley teachers and staff, and let's pray for teachers in our state in general, okay? So let's reach out our hands in faith and pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for people that have given their lives to serve, to minister, and to love the students of Des Moines, of Adel, of Central Iowa. God, we thank you for them. And we pray that on their worst days, that you would give them peace. That God, when they're with that kid that seems like the worst kid, that you would give them a love that doesn't make sense, so that when that kid encounters these teachers, that God, he or she would know that I am dearly loved, that there is a plan for my life. God, I pray that in the moments where the staff at McKinley, God, where the staff and the teachers in Iowa, God, in the moments where it seems like it isn't gonna help at all, where they don't get to see the reward for 10 years, for 20 years, God, I pray that you yourself, your Holy Spirit, would overflow hope, joy, peace, and a love that makes no sense in Jesus' name. God, as they love these kids, I pray you love them in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the teachers a hand. Come on, and let's give our Lord a hand right now as we continue to worship. Come on.
Say, church, I am blessed, I am called, I am healed.
Shout of praise before we read the word. Anyone excited for the word of God? Cool. If you wouldn't mind, stay standing till after we've read the word. A couple of things that I forgot to mention earlier. Welcome to church. If you're new here, welcome to you especially. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I'm glad you're here. After the service, we've got a gift for you out in the lobby, and a good gift, not just some cheap trash that we found at the dollar store. You know, like, we've got some good stuff for you today. And Pastor Jed will come and he'll talk about that after the message. But welcome to church. I'm going to read the word right now from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. You ready for that? It's Christmas. So this is Christmas. All right, here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Jojo. Someone say Jojo. A descendant of King David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings!" Someone say greetings! You who are highly favored, the Lord God is with you. Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Yo, Mary, don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. You're going to conceive a child and give birth to a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. He'll be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin." Great question, right? Hang on a minute. What's happening up in here? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." Hey, sometimes the doctor's got to give you a report, which in the natural, they're not lying, it's the truth, but in the supernatural. But in the supernatural, something else can happen, amen. That they said she could not conceive, but she's in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Come on, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. No word from God in your heart will ever fail. No word from God over your life and your circumstance will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Heavenly Father, we thank you. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's December, a time to remember, to celebrate not only your goodness, but to celebrate Emmanuel, God who is now with us. God, thank you that you're with us. Today we set aside this moment and we ask you to come and speak to every one of us. I pray that every person in this room's heart would be open, ready to receive all that you want to do in them and through them in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you turn to five people and say, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And then take your seats. We just sounded like a 1923 Presbyterian church just then, didn't we? Greetings, you who are highly favored. Thus saith the Lord, he says verily unto you. No, I'm not going to do that. All right, welcome to church. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord God is with you. Greetings. This is the beginning of the conversation that's paving the way for the Messiah to be born. This is that moment. How exciting is this moment? This is the moment that the angel is about to tell her that not only is she highly favored, but that she's the chosen one. Sorry, I did see that movie, and I can never say chosen one without quoting it like that movie. Anyway. Gosh, none of y'all have even seen it. So you're like, what on earth was that weird accent he just did? That's how you all sound to me. God sends an angel to earth to tell Mary good news, right? And he starts with greetings. You who are highly favored. This is an exciting moment. Are y'all excited about Christmas? Yeah. Cool, let me remind some of you, if you're new here at Eternity Church, I like it when people yell at me when I'm preaching, okay? Like, I just do a better job when people are yelling at me, when they're hooting at me, when they're hollering at me. I just do a better job. But here's the thing, it's not just about somebody yelling, hey, good job. No, it's about receiving it. At Eternity Church, we didn't come to church just to watch somebody preach. We come to receive something from God. Amen. So even if you're watching online right now, you got to say amen. You got to say, that's good. Say, I receive it. Come on. We don't just want to watch. We want to participate in what God's doing in church today. Can I get an amen? So today I expect you to yell at me when I'm preaching. All right. Now, this is the moment in scripture that all the prophets and all the Old Testament has been pointing towards. This is the moment that we see the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9, where it says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a king is a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, or if they're from Texas, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace. This is good news. Would you agree? Amen. Now, why, if it's such good news, was Mary so troubled that the writer of the book, Luke, says that she was greatly troubled? What is so troubling about this encounter with the angel Gabriel? Now, I get that angels aren't like gorgeous, beautiful, pretty women with wings out the back of their backs, like in all the movies that we've depicted and all the fairy tales. And I know for some of you, I've shattered your dreams and your thoughts of every fairy tale. It's not true. That's not what they look like, right? They're beastly, burly, muscle-bound dudes. And I get that running into an angel might be slightly terrifying, might be scary. In the Old Testament, people ran into angels and they trembled with fear. So I get that she might have been scared about that. She's just going about her day. She's just doing her thing. She's like going to Walmart. She's driving down Mills Civic on her way to Walmart to get some envelopes and to get some paper. She's got to make some wedding invitations for her and her boy Jojo's wedding that's coming up in just a few weeks, right? And so she's just going about her day, and then she parks her little beige Prius out the front of Walmart. Yeah. And then after she parks, a big white van parks next to her, and a big hairy beastly man jumps out of the white van and starts walking toward her. She's freaking out. Who's this dude in the white van? She reaches into her purse to get some mace. But not really, because this is Iowa. She reached into her purse to grab her 9mm, right? And as she reaches for her 9mm, the big burly angel that jumped out of the white van goes, yo, Mary! Greetings, you who are highly favored. And Mary's like, wait, what? Now, I know that after all the lies that went around Facebook last week about men in white vans snatching up women at Walmart and selling their body parts in other parts of the world, I know that all just went around on Facebook, but you got to remember, I know it was lies, but this was before we found out that it was a lie, right? And we know that this story actually took place before Abraham Lincoln told us that not everything you read on the internet and Facebook is true. So she can't be blamed for being scared right now, right? So I understand that she would be greatly troubled by a big burly dude getting out of the white van and walking toward her. But it wasn't the circumstances of the encounter that so greatly troubled her. It's not what Scripture says. It wasn't the white van with the crooked and somewhat stolen looking license plates hanging off the front that troubled her and made her scared. It wasn't the Facebook post or the beast of a man that appeared in front of her that troubled her. It wasn't that. What does Scripture say troubled her? It says she was greatly troubled at his words. At his words. But he didn't say it. He didn't say, "Yo, I'm about to snatch you up, little girl." No, he just said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Now, it doesn't say that she didn't understand his words. Not that she had trouble understanding his Australian accent. Like the angel walked up and was like, yeah, g'day, Mazza, how you going, Savo? Yeah, you know, God reckons you're a good egg, eh? And then Mary was greatly troubled by an entire country's ridiculous assault on the English language. That's not what happened. She didn't struggle to understand him. She wasn't afraid of the burly dude. She wasn't freaking out about the white van or the crooked license plates or the Facebook post. She was greatly troubled by the good news that he spoke of. Greatly troubled at his words. Greetings, you who are what? Highly favored. Listen to me, church. From the very first inclination that Jesus was coming into the world, the devil has been assaulting our ability to receive good news. Since the very first inclination. And ever since, he's been about the business of blocking, confusing, and troubling us. When God is trying to bring us good news. When God is trying to bring us something good in our lives. See, Jesus Christ is the ultimate good news, am I right? When Paul talked about how he wants to finish his race, he says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Gospel literally means good news that is yelled out, that is heralded, that is declared. The entire message of Jesus Christ is called the gospel of God's grace. Literally, the good news about God's grace. Good news that is yelled out, that is heralded, that is declared. Church, the message that we have as a church, it's good news that anyone and everyone can experience salvation through Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter where you were last night, amen, no matter what color your eyes are, your hair is, or your skin is, no matter what your family's reputation is, no matter what your family background is, no matter what they look like, smell like, or walk like, you can live in God's favor, amen. We all can be friends with God and worship Him together. That's good news, but why? When the world hears about the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, do they think it's bad news when a church notices you? Bad news when a church wants to talk to you about God, because the devil has been assaulting people's ability to receive good news. Just like Mary was troubled at the start, just like many of you were troubled when you first heard the gospel, just like many of your friends and family are troubled when they hear about your faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Why? There's nothing troubling about ultimate grace that covers everything. There's nothing troubling about that. There's nothing troubling about peace that surpasses all understanding, literally meaning peace that makes no sense even when there's chaos and fire and a war zone all around you. You got peace. There's nothing troubling about peace. There's nothing troubling about everlasting joy. Joy that, as the old song says, joy that the world can't take away. There's nothing troubling about love that never fails. Love that won't give up on you. Love that won't quit on you no matter what you've done, said, walk like, talk like, or smell like. But somehow the devil is blinding people's eyes to the good news. Friend, that's why you need to pray. That's why you need to pray. That's why if you want your mom to get saved, if you want your son to get saved, if you want your daddy to get saved, that's why you need to pray. Don't just be like, I'm gonna bring them to church. Pastor Jesse will do it. You know what? They won't even hear the good news if they've still got the veil over their eyes. You need to get down on your knees. God, I want my mom to be saved. I want my dad to be saved. I want my co-workers to be saved. God, before they even walk in the doors, I pray that you release them, that you take that veil off their eyes in Jesus' name. I come against what the devil's doing in their lives. You want people to be saved? What you doing about it? You want your friends to be saved? What you doing about it? Amen. Come on, we are so busy complaining about the things we wish would change in people's lives. We're like, oh man, I wish they'd stop talking like that. I wish they'd stop acting like that. I wish they'd stop preaching like that. I wish they'd stop saying that. And what are you doing about it? When did you last get on your knees and pray that that person's veils would fall off their eyes? Amen. Come on, we ain't got no business complaining about things that we ain't been praying about. Amen. Have I? You need to pray for your family. You need to pray for your mom. You need to pray for your dad to get saved. Pray for your kids to get saved. Come on, don't leave it to me. Come on, there's battles going on in the heavenlies. Join us. Amen. Join us and pray for your teachers to get saved. Pray for your state to get saved. Pray for the world to get saved. We need to be in prayer against that troubling veil that blinds the eyes of our friends and families to the good news of God's grace. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's also troubling us when we just want to receive, when God's trying to give us just ordinary good news, right? Like just do something good in our lives or tell us something good. Like, hey, y'all, guess what? Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Uh-oh! Like people freaking out because Christmas is coming. Christmas, my friend, is a great celebration of Emmanuel, a celebration of the fact that God is with us and he shall reign forever. Amen. That's what Christmas is. But what are we doing? I gotta cook a... Not a turkey, that's the wrong holiday. I gotta... Whatever it is! In America, I gotta cook all the food, I gotta organize all the invites, I gotta make the house squeaky clean. For many, Christmas has become bad news. Just like that first time that the angel come to Gabriel and said, Mary, Christmas is coming. And she was greatly troubled at his words, and so are so many of you. Stress. Gotta see family that I hate. Well, let's just deal with that first. And then we'll deal with the gotta see him bit after that, amen. My finances are so tight, we can't afford to have a good Christmas. You know what? Some of y'all didn't know that Jesus still reigns when your credit cards are maxed out. Some of y'all didn't know that Jesus, that Emmanuel, will still be with us even if there ain't any presents under the tree. Emmanuel is with us and he shall reign forever unless there's no gifts under the tree. No, amen that. That was hilarious. No, right? That's not what it says. He shall reign forever. Maybe just organizing it all is stressing you out. The party, the friends, the family. Can I just tell you, do you know what? If organizing the Christmas dinner for the whole everybody is stressing you out, let your honest secret. You don't have to do it. Y'all don't have to do that. Come on. Yeah, there's some people here saying, preach. I just saw a dude look at his wife and said, ain't I been saying it? I'm like, he has been saying it. Don't let the devil take your Christmas and make it bad news. Don't let the devil take your good news and make it bad news, amen. Just don't do it. Have Christmas with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, and tell them, do you know why Christmas is awesome this year? Because Emmanuel. And he shall reign. Go ahead and reclaim your good news. Devil, you ain't gonna take my family. Devil, you ain't gonna take my Christmas. It's even more than that though, right? Like sometimes he recruits people around you to mess up your good news. You got offered a promotion or you got a promotion and your co-workers are making you feel bad because they wanted the promotion, that you got the promotion and now you can't talk about your promotion because now it's bad news. Yeah. But it was good news, wasn't it? It was good news. Those people are doing what Robert Madu said last week. Oh, you changed. Oh, you're different than you used to be. Like it's bad to say yes to God. Like it's bad to say yes to growth. Like it's bad to say yes to change, yes to progress, yes to hard work, yes to favor. Amen. Come on, no, the problem's not that you changed. The problem is that they are the same old person that they've always been. And no matter how long they sit there stuck in that same old garbage, they don't seem to get it that, as Robert said, it's time to move. Amen. Try something new. So instead, they want to rob you of your good news. But somebody say, heck no. We'd have said something different if we were in Australia. Somebody say, move on, Jesse. Now they want to make it hard for you to talk about your good news. Man, the devil loves to turn your good news into bad news, doesn't he? Reminds me of that song. He makes that good news go bad. But that's not the words to the song. It's way worse than that. I think it goes, I make them good girls go bad. And that's bad to sing in church, so don't sing that in church, right? Because church is the opposite, right? We make them bad girls go good. Yeah. Hey, and girls, I got good news. And we make them bad boys go good. Anyway, we'll move on from that. The devil loves to turn that good news into bad news, doesn't he? But don't we sometimes just do it for him? Like, we get so busy blaming everything on the devil, you know? Like, oh, yeah, my vacuum cleaner broke. No, it's just 14 years old. And honestly, you probably should have got another one 13 years ago. So it's a miracle it lasts this long, right? So instead of praising God that something that was designed to last 8 months lasted you 14 years, which is good news, we're being like, oh, no, the thing broke, damn devil. You know, like, come on, let's not be like that. Come on. I meant to say dang. I'm so sorry. Hashtag America. All right. That was terrible. What about people who pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray for something, and then when God answers their prayers, they complain and complain and complain and complain about something? God, I need a car. I need a car. God, if you just give me a car, everything is going to be all right. Man, gas costs so much. Have y'all ever paid for insurance? Man, I'm gonna get this thing serviced. So annoying. God, I really want a job. God, if you give me a job, everything's gonna get better. We'll be able to drink milk again. Leche. Come on, we want a job, God. We want a job. Man, my boss is a moron. You think your boss is bad? You gotta stop laughing, eternity stuff, all right? Come on. Man, my coworkers are jerks. No one appreciates me at my job. Oh, you think you're tired getting up at 8 a.m. to go to work? Well, the job God gave me, I gotta get up at 5 a.m. I'm like, cry me a river. You prayed for a job and God gave you a job. Hallelujah, come on. I'm a little harsh today. What about, God, I really want a wife. God, please give me a wife, a beautiful wife. If you give me a wife, everything's gonna be all right. And God's like, bro, I got you covered. Now get out of the clubs, go to church, you'll meet a beautiful woman whose life and values lines up with your calling. Amen. Come on. So he meets the woman of his dreams and she's magnificent and they have some beautiful kids. And then he gets invited to poker night and he's like, oh, no, ball and chain won't let me go. She always wants to hang out. Oh, diddums, your wife likes you. Must suck. Kids always want to hang out with me. Oh, yeah, don't you wish you had those kids that when they grow up, they have daddy issues? You know, I wish daddy didn't hang out. No, come on. Or the, man, when I was single, it was so much easier. And you hear people talking like they could have done better. Right? You met those people like they're like, I could have done better. I've met those people. The way they complain, they literally think they could have done better. Bro, you could not have done better. No, listen to me. If God didn't hook you up, you were probably going to fall in love with some 700-pound Russian dude calling himself Jasmine on Fortnite. And then get real surprised when you go to meet Jasmine at Starbucks one day. Come on. Someone say, preach. Come on, the devil isn't the only one trying to turn our good news into bad news. So often some of us are turning our own good news into bad news with our very own negative proclamations over the blessings of God on our lives, over the situations that we find ourselves in. Come on, we are sabotaging the goodness of God in our lives because all we can see is the bit that's not how we want it. Hey, let's not help the devil turn our good news into bad news. Let's not be the mouthpiece of the devil, amen. We don't need to help him make negative proclamations over our lives. He's already recruited enough people around you to tell you that you can't do it, that you can't make it, that you're not good enough, that you're not pretty enough, that you're not muscly enough, that you're too skinny, that you're... He's already got people making those proclamations over your lives. Come on, he is good enough at that on his own. He don't need your help. You ever met people who, when you have a great idea, they feel it's their obligation to play devil's advocate for a minute and destroy your great idea?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I just want to point some things out to you. I'm so much smarter than you because I've, you know, 3 months older than you. Hey, man, look, I heard the vision you've got, but I don't mean to be negative. And I'm like, then shut up! And don't say the next sentence. Come on. Hey, I don't mean to offend you. Then quit talking. Right, let me tell you, if you're going to preface something with, I don't mean to be negative, then shut up. Because if your next sentence negative, you meant it. So you lied in the preface. If you want to preface something with, I don't mean to be offensive, you mean to be offensive. So quit it. Stop talking. Be an encourager. Amen. I told you I was feeling harsh today, but it's all good. It's all good. The devil doesn't need an advocate. How about you play Jesus advocate for a minute? How about you talk about that good news? Amen. How about you let faith rise up in your heart for a minute? I want to hear that. I want to hear you say, I want to hear what you say when you're playing Jesus advocate. I want to hear that faith, that joy, that hope. I want to hear that my mom can be healed of cancer. Not devil's advocate. No, he has an advocate. I want to hear faith in Jesus' name. Because while the devil's turning good news bad, we serve a God who's turning my bad news into good news. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord, my friend. That is turning bad news into good news. No matter what proclamation somebody or something has made over your life right now, I want to tell you, when you press in to the presence of God, God is about turning your bad news, that bad proclamation, into some good news and a blessing and a whole dose of favor in your life. Amen. So the devil robbed you, the devil took something from you, well now you're going to take back what the devil took from you and you're going to receive that Zacchaeus anointing and get back 10 times what the devil took from you. We don't need to play devil's advocate. I don't want to be the guy, Jesus comes back for his church and I'm over in the courtroom and I'm like, wait up Jesus, I'm just defending the devil for a minute. Man, I don't want to be that guy. He doesn't need an advocate. You don't want to be that guy. If I share some God-given vision with you, if I share good news with you, and you start the next sentence with, let me play devil's advocate, I'm going to text Shanna. She's my executive assistant. I'm going to have her escort you out of my office. and make way for a faith-filled person to come in and partner with the Holy Spirit and let that good news that I just had, that vision that I just had, I want their faith to rise up in me and us just partner with the Holy Spirit and see it become not just a vision, but a reality in Jesus' name. Amen. But from the very flippin' beginning, even the first moment Jesus is about to take his dive from heaven into the virgin's womb like Medusa said, the devil's been trying to trouble people when they hear good news. But we need to remember, it's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not pointing at any. I am. There we go. It's the devil that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Life full of good news, full of joy, full of hope, full of peace. Someone say, I receive peace. Full of hope, full of faith in Jesus' name. So we need to remember verse 33, amen. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. See, when it feels like the devil's coming at me, coming for my good news, I need to make a declaration. Hey, devil, Jesus reigns forever. He reigned that first time. You tried to turn that good news into bad news, and he'll reign this time, and he'll reign next time, and he'll reign every time because he reigns forever. He shall reign over my Christmas. He shall reign over my promotion. He shall reign over my children. Church, you don't need to stress about your children's future because how long has he reigned for? So he's going to reign over their future. You don't need to stress about your kids going to college. And I'm preaching to myself. I already am freaking out about college. And I've got to remind myself, you're going to reign then too. My oldest kid is 10. Isn't it amazing what the stupid devil can stress us out about 8 years early? Not only does he reign forever and bring us good news, but he's turning that bad news, that bad report, that bad experience into good news. Scripture says he's turning our mourning into dancing. He's turning our sorrow into joy. He's turning your shame into a double portion of God's favor. He's still in control. Come on, some of you need to know he's still in control. He's still about that business of turning bad news into good news. Whatever disappointment you have in your life, good news is coming. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. That wasn't just some cool line that I came up with. That's the word of God. It says that he who begun a good work in you is faithful and just to bring it to completion in your life. Come on, does somebody receive that? Would you stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you received that word today? As I thought about this week, I got to thinking, I wonder how much good news God's been trying to bring you. Wonder how many good things God's been trying to do in your life that have been distorted and troubled by the enemy. You hear about people when they get this envelope in the mail. See, they've just applied to go to university and there's good news in the envelope. And they sit there and they stare at it. Some people don't open it at all. Stare at it and they wait and they wait and they wait and they wait. And if only they opened up, it might say, congratulations, you've been accepted to the University of Iowa. Sorry, I said good news, that's bad news, sorry. It might say, congratulations, you've been accepted to Iowa State. Come on. Could say that. Congratulations, you've been accepted to Caltech. Congratulations, you've been accepted to Harvard. Congratulations, you got a promotion. Congratulations, you got the promotion that you interviewed for. But instead we stand there stressing out because there's an envelope in front of us. Is there a promotion waiting for you? Is there a spouse waiting for your proposal? Come on, dudes. Come on, gals. I don't care who proposes. 2019, right? Your mom and dad might care. I just want to get you married. Scripture says, run from sexual immorality. So get married. Anyway, is there a peace and a purpose that God's been trying to bring you while you're single, but you're so focused on what you don't have that God can't bring good news in the midst of your present circumstance? Is there a healing waiting for you? Is there a good report? Did the doctor give you a bad report, but now you're afraid to go up to the front for prayer because you think it's going to be another bad report, but God's got good news waiting for you, that He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, that He is Jehovah Rapha, and He's the God who heals you? Receive it. Open the envelope. See, when God speaks, when we read the good news in the Word of God, let's not get it twisted from bad news. Sorry, from good news to bad news. We got to end every good thing that God has promised us the same way that Mary ended it when she said to Gabriel, may every word you have spoken come true. I'm praying right now. Today we're going to be praying for people. May every promise of God in your life come true. God promised your kids will be saved. May it come true. God promised your spouse will return. May it come true. God promised you favor and promotion. May it come true. God promised He'd bring you out of bankruptcy. May it come true. Amen. What has God promised you that you have walked away from, that you have refused to receive? I pray today that you would make that wonderful declaration that what God has promised you would come true in Jesus' name. May every word out of the mouth of God come true. Somebody in this place, give the Lord a shout of praise. May it come true. This is a praise of amen. This is a praise of yes, Lord. This is a praise of may it come true, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody glad they come to church today. If you don't know Jesus, give Him your life today. Step one. There is a block in the way of some of you living that good life. Receive it today by giving your life to Jesus Christ. I've been praying already that today you would hear it as good news, not bad news. God is good. God's not a mean man on a hill with a magnifying glass trying to burn you. God is good. And no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, and no matter what you did last night or this morning or halfway through the service, you are welcome to give your life to Jesus Christ. And for too long, people have thought that, oh, I got to dress like them, I got to walk. Honestly, this is the first time I've worn a button up in about 2 years on this stage, all right? Like, I don't even care how you dress. I don't care how you walk. I don't care what your hair looks like. I don't care what color your skin is, what color your eyes are, what color your hair is. You are welcome to give your life to Jesus Christ in this place. If there's something in your life that you're doing wrong, I don't care. Seriously, I don't care. If God's got a problem with something you're doing, if something that you're doing is destructive to you, offensive to God, or hurtful to others, hey, at some point, God, not me, God will speak to you about that. And when He does, the Holy Spirit's going to give you victory power. Victory power. Victory power. And then your life will be transformed by the power of God, not by me telling you what you have to do, but by the power of God. So all I'm asking you to do right now is give your life to Jesus Christ. This year we've had over 1,020 people give their lives to Jesus Christ at Eternity Church. And I reckon that's flipping awesome. But there's a few more. There's a few more in here today. They need to give their life to Jesus Christ. Let Him take away the pain and the shame of your past mistakes. Let Him take away the pain and the shame of things that other people did to you or around you that you've been carrying. It's time for freedom. It's time for healing. And let Him set you up to live the life that he designed for you. When he said, let us make mankind in our image, and he thought of you, and he thought of your plans, and he thought of how to bless you and the favor on your life. Just say yes to that today by praying a prayer with me. As you pray this prayer with me, believe it in your heart, and God's going to change your life forever. It's going to be awesome. So everyone in this room will pray this prayer, because we all pray it every week, like a reminder to the devil that he can't touch this, you know, get away from us. We're saved. We're set free. Come on. So we all pray it every week. But this week I'm asking some of you to join us in that prayer and to pray it with us. So if it's your first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, giving your life to Jesus, everyone in the room, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life the way you designed it, extra special, just for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, and you're giving your life back to Jesus Christ, there's two things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to text the word SAVE to the number 25827. By doing that, we're going to send you three things that will really bless your life and really bless your faith, all right? Number one, you'll get a Bible in the mail. Number two, you'll get a CD or a download code for the worship music that we sing here at Eternity Church. And number three, you'll get a gift card to a local coffee shop, because we know that the Word of God, that worship and caffeine, mix them together, you're on fire for Jesus, all right? And so text the word SAVE to the number 25827, and you'll receive that free gift in the mail this week. The second thing I want you to do is, in a moment, everyone's going to close their eyes, and then I'm going to count to three, and I want you to lift up your hand so I can pray for you. I just like to know who I'm praying for, that's all. And so in a moment, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell everyone, oh yeah, the dude in the shirt on the front row next to the lady in the mustard overcoat. No, I'm just going to pray for you, and that's it. So if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads from the front to the back, right to the left, let's give people the privacy they deserve, making the greatest decision of their lives. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. If you prayed that prayer and you want to leave this place with a pep in your step, feeling blessed by God, while no one's looking around, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands right now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Church, let's all pray now for those 13 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you trust Eternity Church to be a welcoming place, to welcome and accept people into your family. God, I ask you to help us help those 13 people become everything that you designed them to be. God, help us to love them, embrace them, accept them, and to encourage them in their faith. God, I pray for them right now that shame and pain and hurt and regret and loneliness and brokenness would break off their lives in Jesus' name. And God, where there was shame, where there was hurt, where there was pain, I pray there would be an overflowing joy, peace, life, hope, and a knowledge that for the rest of their lives, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter how they behave, that God, you will never, never, never leave them and never forsake them in Jesus' name. God bless them. May they walk out of this place with a spring in their step, knowing that the King of the universe is in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.